for a while here this morning, and I hope not long, from the book of the Philippians. It's Galatians and Ephesians and the book of Philippians. And I want you to turn with me to the third chapter. That book, third chapter of the book of Philippians, and I want to read verse 15, and see if I can make anything out of this verse that would glorify God and be a profit to our souls. The 15th verse of the third chapter. Now this is the fellow writing this is the fellow I just talked about, the Apostle Paul. He wrote about 13 or 14 of the letters in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, and on. 13 of them, books. He wrote them, inspired of God, put them down, preserved them these many years, these last 2,000 years. Well, he's the guy doing the speaking here, the writing. He says, let us. He didn't say let of everybody, but he said let us. A particular, referring to a particular people, let us. Let us, therefore, and listen to this now, as many as be perfect. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect. Be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. But what strikes me here is this one word, perfect. He admonishes us as many as be perfect. Well, you know, there are many questions among religious people and many questions among those that are saved by the grace of God concerning who can come to the Lord's table. Who can come to the Lord's feast? Who is it that is fit to sit at the Lord's table and eat of the bread and drink of the wine, showing forth the Lord's death till He come again? Who are qualified? Who are fit to come to the feast? Many say and question, am I fit or unfit to come? Now we have the Lord's table the first Wednesday night of every month. And we've been doing that for at least 40 years. Every Wednesday, or every second Wednesday, every second Wednesday of the month. That'd be 12 times a year. And I'm sure that those that are here probably say, am I fit to come and sit at his table? partake of the Lord's Supper? Am I fit to come? Well, I can tell you this for sure. I'm certain about this. I may be uncertain about a few things. I'm not uncertain about the Word of God. I believe that every word of the Word of God is true, comes from God. It's true. But I can tell you this thing for sure, that if you wait until you are better, you'll never come. You say, am I fit to come? I don't know. I have some bad thoughts. I've said some things hastily. I haven't done what I ought to do. I haven't loved God like I ought to love Him. I haven't loved my brothers and sisters like I ought to. I haven't loved my children like I ought to, my wife like I ought to. I don't know. Am I fit to come? Am I fit to come and sit down and partake of the supper of the Lord? His supper. He's invited men to come to His table. Am I fit to come? Well, if you wait until you're better, you'll never come. Now listen to me here this morning. There is no more fitness required to come to the Lord's table than there is to come to Jesus Christ for pardon and for salvation. If a person is fit for one, he's fit for the other. If he's fit to come to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved from his sins and be clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and have endless eternal life in Christ and be entitled to the blessings of heaven, if he comes to Christ empty-handed as a beggar in poverty, having nothing to offer, nothing to give, no confidence in himself or anything else that he does, if he comes to Christ, then he's fit to come to the Lord's table. You see what I'm saying? If he's fit to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, he's fit to come to the Lord's table. If a person is fit for one, he's fit for the other. But if he comes, there must not be any hypocrisy or pretense or saying with his lips that which is not in his heart. Some say, I'm afraid of falling into sin after I've been to the Lord's table. I dare not come. I'm so weak, and I'm just afraid if I come to the Lord's table and come to that feast and sit there with the brethren and remember the Lord's death till he come again, I'm afraid that as I go from the place where the table is set, that I might have some bad thoughts, and I might say something that is contrary to Christian living. Maybe I won't come. Well, now I'll say this again: if you wait until you're not afraid of such things, you'll never come. If you wait until you have no sin whatsoever, you'll never come. Because you're a saved sinner. You're a saved sinner. Your sins have been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. The debt has been paid in full. Your sins have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He hath made you clean. You are washed whiter than the driven snow. you are so clean that even God Himself cannot find a flaw in you because you are in Christ. Now, if you wait until you're not afraid of such things, I might fall, then you never will come. Because you still have a sinful nature. And you'll have that sinful nature sticking fast to you until the last dying breath that you take. When you're seized to breathe, that's when you'll cease to sin. When you come down to die, death will take away that nature. But as long as you're alive and your bones are clothed with muscle and tissue and there's life in your body and you'll sin. So if you wait until everything is exactly perfect with your nature, you'll never come to the Lord's table. Because it won't happen. It won't happen. You'll sin. We sin in word and thought and deed. There is no more fitness required to come to the Lord's table than there is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for a full and complete salvation. Well, the only way to obtain pardon and forgiveness is by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to Him today. We come to Him tomorrow. We come to Him the next day. We come every day again and again and again and again and again. And we'll do that throughout our lifetime. We'll continue to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we come to Christ for salvation, then we're fit to come to His supper. Because we come to the Lord Jesus Christ with no confidence in the flesh. Our confidence is in Him. Well, look at, let me try to explain what I'm trying to say. Over here in the book of 2 Corinthians. Corinthians. I think it's chapter 11 of the second book of Corinthians. Chapter 11, verse 27. Chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. No, that's not what I want. On over here. What I'm looking for. What, Pat? Yeah, maybe I got the wrong book. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Yeah, that's it. It's about the Lord's table here. Beginning there at verse 23. Paul said, I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. This is the institution of the Lord's Supper. He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it. Broke the bread. His body was broken, although not a bone in His body was broken. And He said, take, eat. He said, this is My body. He didn't mean literally it was His body. This is My body. It's a type of Me. This is what's going to happen to Me. This is My body, which is broken for you. Broken for you, you sinners. poor, helpless, hopeless, wandering sinners that have no hope of eternal life. It says, broken for you. And he said, this do. This do. Do it. In remembrance of me. Every time you do it, you remember that I died for you. You remember that it was your sin that nailed me to the tree. You remember that. It wasn't my sin. I had no sin. But you remember who you are. You remember who, what a worthless whelp you are. You remember that it was your sins that was laid on me that I suffered for. I didn't suffer for my sins. I had no sins. I'm suffering for your sins. I'm your substitute. I'm your advocate. I'm your lawyer. I'm your reconciler. I'm your Savior. You remember that, he said. As oft as you do it, you remember me. Remember what I did. What I did. Not what you did. What did you do? You furnished the sin. What did I do? I furnished the sin. It was my sins that was laid on him. He suffered for my sins in my place, in my room, and in my stead, and made me accepted in him. So he said, you remember that. You remember that you're not saved by your good works. You had no good works. All you had was sin. You remember that. You remember that so you can honor me and glorify me, not yourself. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner also he took the cup, broke the bread now. Two things in the Lord's Supper. There's the wine, not grape juice. It's wine. It's not store bread. It's unleavened bread. No, there's no foreign substance in leavened bread. There's no yeast in leavened bread to make it rise. It's just leavened bread is flour and water. That's what leavened bread is. That's what they ate. And that's what pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no leaven in the Bible is sin. Yeast is the picture of leaven. And there's no leaven in the Lord Jesus. Leaven is sin. No sin in him. So it's bread. As often as you eat this bread, this leavened bread, which is a picture of me, and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come. And so it's not grape juice. They didn't have no grape juice back then. I know there's not a church. I bet there's not a church in this county that when they take the Lord's Supper, they don't take it with grape juice. What do you bet? Maybe the Catholic Church. They may use wine. But the majority of them takes grape juice. They wouldn't take wine. They'd be afraid to take a drink of wine. The religious people of this generation, they wouldn't take a drink of wine. They might do it in secret. They wouldn't want anybody to know about it. Ah, that fellow drinks a glass of wine. Oh, he must be a great sinner. That's all they drank in the Bible was wine. They didn't drink no grape juice, Pepsi Cola. Wine makes you drunk if you drank enough of it. You show forth the Lord's death. And whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drinketh of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, remember I told read over here in the book of Philippians this verse. It says Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect. It says here, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily. If he's not perfect, he's unworthy. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh what? Damnation to himself, and not discerning the Lord's body. Well, let me kind of explain this to you. Some of the Corinthian church members, they seemingly had either mistaken or forgotten what the design of the Lord's Supper was. And they made the Lord's Supper a common feast. They made the Lord's Supper into an ordinary meal. And the result of this was that the Lord sent sickness and disease and death among them. In verse 30 of 2 Corinthians 11, it says, it talks about eateth and drinketh damnation to himself because he doesn't discern the Lord's body. And for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, many die. Why? Because they did not discern the Lord's Supper or the Lord's body or what the Lord did or who the Lord was, or the design of this supper was to remember him. And they just decided that this would be a good opportunity for them to get drunk and have a big time. So they brought their wine, their bottles, and they came to church maybe before the whole group gathered. And there was one in this corner and three or four in this corner and four or five in the back. And they began to eat and to drink and to be and to make merry. And they had mistakenly or forgotten the design and the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Now that's the reason that they were sickly and some of them died because of it. So they didn't come to the table as poor, self-condemned sinners, hungering and thirsting after the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, or to honor or to glorify Christ, or to remember Christ, who He was, and what Christ did. They just disregarded all of that and made an ordinary meal out of it. But you and I here this morning, we know the design and the reason for the supper. We have examined ourselves and we have desired to eat worthily. We've desired to eat worthily because we discerned the design of the supper. We know what the supper means. The supper is not an ordinary meal. The supper has been given to a specific people, to us, given to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as they gather to have this supper as they so agree to a particular time. It can be every Sunday. It can be every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, or it can be once a week, it can be once a year, or once a month. Whatever the church decides to do about it, it's in their jurisdiction. But they are to keep this supper. And as often as they keep the supper, they remember the doing and the dying of the blessed Lamb of God. And it's not an ordinary meal. That's not what it is, an ordinary meal. And that's what some of these Corinthians, that's what they believed in. Now listen to this. The 11th chapter of that book of 1 Corinthians. Paul says in verse 17, Now in this, now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, he said, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly to believe it. That is, they said to Paul, they said, why, we're of Apollos. There's such a division. He said, we're Peter. We're Peter's followers. Some said, well, we're Barnabas's followers. We're this man's followers. We're Paul's followers. Paul said, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. So when you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before another his own supper. One is hungry, and the other is drunken. They abused the supper of the Lord. They came and made an ordinary meal. They took their wine. Some of them drank too much wine. Some of them got drunk. You say church members got drunk? The church members in the book of Corinthians did. They got drunk. And God sent sickness and caused some of them to sleep on the account of it. And then he goes over in that 22nd verse and he says, what? After he says this, what? After he says, for eating everyone taketh before another his own supper. They brought their own food. One's hungry. He wants to eat. And another's drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? You live out there on 3rd Street in a garage apartment. Why don't you eat and drink in your house? Don't you have a house to eat and drink in? That's what Paul's saying. Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God? You must despise the church of God because you come over here and you brought your own groceries with you and you had a picnic in the corner there and you got to drinking and you got drunk. Certainly they was unworthy. All right. Have you not houses to drink in? Or do you despise the church of God? And shame them that have not. What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Well, I say we understand, I believe, here this morning. We understand that our worthiness is not in ourselves. Our worthiness is in Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Well, say again now, seeing you know who He is and why He came, who is He? God manifest in the flesh. Why did He come? He came to enable God to be just and justifier. That is, He enabled God not to compromise. See, justice, the law must be served, the law must be fulfilled. God cannot dispense mercy at the expense of His justice. Justice must be satisfied. The soul that sinneth must surely die. Somebody's got to die. So we know the Lord Jesus Christ died in our stead and place and room for our suffering, for our punishment, enabling God not to compromise His justice. The Bible says God can be just and justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Well, to make this short now, all that's needed to fit a man for Christ's company and Christ's supper is a sense of his need and want of him. That's what makes him fit to come. A sense of his personal need of the Lord Jesus Christ. He needs his sins forgiven. He needs a righteousness that meets the demands of God's requirement. He needs to be adopted into God's family. He needs to be born of the Spirit of God. He needs to have the love of God shed abroad in his heart. All of this is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if he's fit to come to Christ as a sinner, he's fit and welcome to come to the table and eat of his supper. That's what I'm saying. If a man has Christ in his work and a belief, if Christ and his work does not cover his nakedness, does not heal his wounds, does not wash away his sins, and does not cover him with his righteousness, then that man is lost forever. But if you believe this, if you believe that you've got to have the righteousness of God to cover your nakedness, then you're fit to come. If you believe that. If you believe it. That's the hardest thing in the world to do, is to believe that I've got to have someone else's righteousness to cover my nakedness. Why? Because I've got a sense of pride in me that I say I want to stand on my two hind legs. I will stand on my own reputation and my own character. I need no help from anybody else. That's self-righteousness and pride. When the Holy Spirit convicts a man, he makes him to know his unworthiness. He makes him to know he's guilty as charged. Makes him readily confess, Lord, I'm guilty. I have no righteousness of my own. I have nothing to give. I'm naked. I'm unholy. Clothe me with your righteousness. Well, it's an unscriptural notion of hoping to attain perfection or something near it before we publicly confess the Lord Jesus Christ. That's heresy. Heresy. We'll never be without sin. And when a man knows he's a sinner is when he confesses to God, you're right. I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I was born a sinner. I've been a sinner all my life. And I'll never quit sinning until I put this flesh into the grave. That's when I quit. I want to quit. I desire to quit. But my nature won't let me. The least, the slightest evil thought is sin. Mistakes are the evidence of sin. We're all sinners. Sinners by nature and sinners by choice. Well, I'm taking too much time. I'll have to quit. Talk about it some more some other time. But let me go back here to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. 3. I'll just make a few remarks and I'll quit. We'll go home, come back again tonight. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect. Perfect. That means sinless. Well, Paul said that he was perfect. Now, he did not come right out and flat contradict himself. Because he said in verse 12, look up there in verse 12. I read verse 15. Let us therefore as many as be perfect. He includes himself in as many as be perfect. He said he is perfect. Now listen to what he says up here. I'm saying now, it must mean something else because he didn't flatly contradict himself. Verse 12, listen to what he says. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already Now he says in this 12th verse, he said he wasn't perfect. I haven't already attained, either were already perfect. Now how do you bring this together with the 15th verse where he says he is perfect? Now, he's perfect. In the sense that Paul says he's perfect, he means he is perfect in the knowledge of God's salvation. That's what he's talking about. Not in the flesh, but he's perfect in knowing who Jesus Christ is. He's perfect in knowing what God requires. He's perfect in knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all that God required on his behalf. Paul said, I have that knowledge. I want more knowledge. I want more knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ so I might enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ and be comforted by the truth of who He is and what He's done. But as perfection in the flesh, no. You can't be perfect. God said Noah was perfect. God said Abraham was perfect. God said Zechariah was perfect. God said a lot of people was perfect, but they was perfect in knowledge, not perfect in the flesh. Well, I know what they say nowadays in these various religious groups trying in the flesh to satisfy their self-righteousness. They say that you've got to be perfect. But nowhere in the Bible does it say you can be perfect. Well, they said that's the aim and the goal of a Christian. A man who's a believer, his aim is to be... Peter exhorted us, said, be ye holy as God is holy. Well, a preacher says you can't be holy in yourself. And most of the people agree with him. And they say, yes, but is not this our aim? To be holy as God is holy? Absolutely not. That's an impossibility. Aim at an impossibility? You mean that you are aiming to be like God? You can't be that way. You can't be like God. To say that I'm aiming to be like God, holy as God is holy, is the same as saying I aim to be a creator. You cannot be perfect in yourself. But you must be perfect before God. But you can be perfect in another. You can't be as holy as God. I don't care how you try or how much you try or how long you live and how many rules and regulations that you keep. You cannot. It's an impossibility. Get it out of your mind. You ain't going to be as holy as God. There ain't nobody going to be as holy as God. Your holiness is in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's holy. And you're holy in Him. And that's how you're holy before God. And that's how you're perfect before God. In Him. Not in yourself. Huh? That's the way it is. That's the way it is. I apologize. I don't apologize for anything that I said relative to that. I believe that's the truth, as in Him. Very few know it. Very few even hear it. Very few even preach it. Very few don't know what I'm talking about. They say that man's crazy. Ought to put him in jail. Shut him up. You don't know what he's talking about. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Man eats and drinks unworthily. That is not perfect in knowledge of who Christ is and what Christ accomplished. He eats and drinks unworthily. But if you know who Christ is, if you know who He is and you know what He does, you know a complete salvation, and you received Him, having no confidence in your flesh, but your confidence is in Him, then you're fit. You're fit to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're